Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First with yesterday's news, I and Glenn ZB, we're looking back at both Saturday and Sunday, and what a weekend of sport it has been. So it's going to be mostly sport in the podcast. Brad Butterworth from the America's Cup, Jackie Stewart from, well, being a motorsport legend, of course. But then we're going to finish up with a bit of West Side Story insight. But before any of that, the big Lions game, and, you know, the weekend of sport generally.
Do you think there's a chance the All Blacks are overconfident ahead of tonight's game? Do you think Rico Ioane, starting aged just 20, will be really, really nervous? Is there anything in rugby, bar maybe a World Cup final, that can match the intensity and atmosphere of a Lions versus All Blacks test? And if you delight in pressure, what about Jimmy Spittle? Do you think he's a master of winding up the media? Do you think he's an arrogant little so-and-so? Or do you think he knows that for people to care about the America's Cup in this day and age, you have to have heroes and villains? Be honest. Do you secretly quite like the guy? And have you noticed that over the last week or so, he's stopped running his mouth quite so much? Has there been a weekend so deliciously laden with New Zealand sport yet this year? Are you just a bit excited? Will you stay up late tonight and rise early in the morning? Come on, are you really, really excited? Do I dare to think, that come 7 o'clock on Monday morning, we might have beaten the Lions and won the America's Cup? Do I think we have it in us? You're damn right I do.
Yeah, it was quite funny. My brother was up visiting from Wellington this weekend, and he was a bit annoyed that Rico Ioane had been selected, and then for him to then go on and score two tries gave me a little smug smile of satisfaction. Here's what Grant Fox thought of how it all shook down.
Foxy, what a great game of footy.
Yeah, it was. Strangely enough, I probably didn't sort of realise that until I'd sort of got home and was having a glass of wine and relaxing and just sort of skirting through, the web a little bit. And then I thought, actually, you know what, it wasn't bad. It was just, you know, when you're in the coaching box and you're sort of, you're caught up in it and the guys are working, you sort of, their minds are very tactical at that stage, and you perhaps lose sight of what the spectacle was. But on reflection, it wasn't bad.
Does it feel a wee bit different when you're in that coach's box, when you've got a Lions series, and as you and I chatted about when we saw you post, or pre-match, I should say, just the atmosphere, which last night with that sea of red was magnificent. Was that a wee bit different for even you, Foxy?
Oh, I've experienced the Lions fans before, so I sort of got an inkling of what it's like. But they just don't add to the atmosphere. You know, they're great supporters. They support their team. You know, they're loud and boisterous, but also very, you know, humble and respectful. You know, they love a good game of footy. They enjoy a good time. You know, I think it brings out the best in our supporters. Perhaps the worst on the odd occasion too, and as we all know, we've got these idiots everywhere, very small minority, and unfortunately we've got the odd one, but everyone has. But, you know, by and large, a vast majority on both sides are just, they were waiting for that contest, you know, loved every minute of it. You know, atmosphere, we're a bit shielded from it in the coach's box because it's reasonably soundproof, so we can't quite grasp it, but my family who were there said it was just amazing.
So there you go. That's interesting, isn't it? The coach's box isn't necessarily the best place to watch the game as far as Atmos goes. I wonder, do they keep it soundproof to keep the sound of the crowd out or the sound of the coaches in? Sometimes you see them saying things that we probably don't really want to hear. I don't really want to hear anything more about the America's Cup, but unfortunately it's going to go on and on and on now that Oracle seem to have a suspiciously fast boat. But before we knew about any of that happening, Brad Butterworth previewed it with Jack Tame Saturday morning.
How is the mood in Bermuda at the moment, and what are people expecting for racing in, what, less than 24 hours' time?
Things are pretty quiet here. Both teams have been out sailing, but nobody really knows what's going to happen exactly tomorrow, but it's going to be a little bit more overcast and maybe the same conditions as we had the first day of the regatta a week ago. So, you know, everybody's just waiting to see what will happen.
I might as well start off with the million-dollar question. Is Team New Zealand going to bring home the America's Cup?
Yeah, I'm not one for predictions, so I think they stand a very good chance, but it's going to depend on it. A big depend on Saturday and how well they sell on Saturday, and if they can put a couple in the bag, then, you know, you would have high hopes. But the Americans haven't slowed down. They've, you know, been working all week, and so there'll be some fireworks, I think.
So it turned out to be quite an accurate prediction there from Mr. Butterworth. I've got this sneaking conspiracy theory type suspicion that Spittle deliberately went slow in those first few races just so he could miraculously turn up with a surprisingly faster boat halfway through and then completely get inside our head San Francisco style. Don't you think there might be a bit of that? Hey, the legendary Jackie Stewart joined Tony Veitch over the weekend. Let's have some of that now.
So, Jackie, I almost feel like you've achieved more post your racing career in terms of driver advocacy and so many other elements of that than what you actually did in the car, if that makes sense to Jackie.
Well, I think everybody has to move on. You know, just being a racing driver or just being a cricketer or a football player or a rugby player or anything else is a nice thing to be able to do if you get to the top. But there's a lot more to life than just one little period of your many years. I've been lucky enough that motorsport, and Grand Prix racing in particular, is a great sort of magic carpet because it takes you into the motor industry. It takes you into the fuel and oil producers, it takes you into the tyre manufacturers, it takes you into companies, for example, like Heineken, who have just joined Formula One in the last few years, the same as Rolex have, and suddenly use people like me in a very positive way to reach out to the enthusiasts. And if you're a track and field athlete, for example, you don't get the same chance to do that because there's a vest and there's a pair of shorts and a pair of shoes, if you like, in a lot of sports, field sports. Whereas in motor racing, it's a highly commercial world. So somebody like myself winning the world championship a few times, it's global. That's the other big thing. It's absolutely global because everybody in the world now seems to drive a car or a motor vehicle of some kind. And therefore, there's more focus to it, and it's totally, you know, 20 Grand Prix there are today in 20 different countries.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it? I've been trying to figure out what the difference is between Formula One racing and America's Cup, so-called racing, because I know that I hate the America's Cup, but I don't hate Formula One as much. Really, it's the same sort of thing. It's sort of people with lots of money. You don't really understand what's going on, and the difference really seems to be who has the most money wins. But that's what it is, isn't it? We all drive. We don't all catamaran on cycle-powered boats. Is that it? It's not relatable. I don't know. I'll think a bit more about that while Andrew Dickens talks to the West Side Story people.
How did you get into this business?
I started when I was five.
Whereabouts?
I am from Texas, the States. Very southern. But my mom sang in church, and that's where I got my singing bug. And I just decided that I wanted to do theater, and my mom got me started. And ever since then, I've been doing it for, I guess it's been almost 22 years now. So
you started when you were two?
Five.
I was going to say.
So I'm almost 27. So, yeah, I think I did that math right. 22 years.
And, of course, Mum and Dad must have been very supportive because there's nothing worse than when a kid comes up to Mum and Dad and says, I'm running off to join the theatre. Unless, of course, they're saying, I'm running off to join the circus.
It's surprising how supportive they have become. At first, they were very skeptical because, you know, it's a hard business, but I have been very fortunate and very lucky to be succeeding in it, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be seeing the world and doing what I love.
Is it racist of me to say that you don't hear of many successes in musical theatre coming out of Texas? doesn't seem like a breeding ground for guys who can sing and dance. I mean, sing, yes, but not musical theatre singing, you know what I mean? Not jazz hands singing. Do you know what I mean? Not stage makeup and bright costumes and sequin singing. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB, the weekend edition. I'll see you back here again for more sequins and jazz hands tomorrow.